Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 7. We're approaching kind of the end of the conference slate. We got a handful of conference games left. Our Ramblers are just really doing well, playing well as of recently and kind of as of the conference slate going full tilt. So in this episode, we're going to give sort of an overview of the last six games, six-game winning streak, what's been going well overall, and maybe, you know, some things that we'd like to see kind of cleaned up or just how we see our Ramblers continuing to improve from here. We'll each kind of go in depth about one of the games over the six-game winning streak, and then we'll also have a little bit of recruiting news toward the end. But Lou, how are you doing? How are you enjoying this six-game winning streak recently?
Yeah, I think, well, one, who doesn't love winning? And two, we're seeing a lot more of it this year, and I think that's the biggest thing. And then the second, that's just kind of extra cherry on top, is getting our name held high in the A-10, right? Like last year, people, there were people on Twitter, people even in the conference, I feel like, were like, ah, maybe they made the jump too soon, right? And it was like, nope, we just, you got it. Sometimes you need some time, and I think that's been great to see. And again, fighting up there in the top with some of the big names like Dayton right now is just an extra special thing to see this season.
Yeah, it's just a year of adjustment. Last year is what it kind of looks like it ended up being. And I think our Ramblers have made some adjustments, and we will be talking about those sort of things here when we get back. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs. And we are back. So let's get into this six-game winning streak. It's been an even split as far as like road and home games. I wouldn't say it's been like the toughest test, just in terms of like who we've actually played. But as we found out from last year, like can't take any game for granted and really just enjoy wins when they come. I would say probably our toughest little stretch were those two road games with George Washington, George Mason. George Mason is definitely a solid team. They were preseason ranked pretty highly, and we weren't. So I feel like for a lot of Rambler fans, that was kind of like a, I don't know, not really a revenge game per se, but maybe one that was circled on a few people's schedules for this year. But winning those back-to-back on the road, definitely an impressive just stretch, I guess, or week. And then I also think that St. Joe's game at home was just nice to see. You know, they beat us three times last year, so to get back and handle business against them this year was just a little bit of extra juice, I guess you could say. But Lou, why don't you kick us off? Like, what have you seen that's gone really well over this six-game winning streak, and how do you think the Ramblers can kind of maintain what we've been doing so far?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I think we've talked about this, but just depth. Right. Again, it's so easy to compare to last year because it's the most recent season we had, and it's also our first season in the A-10. But again, on this streak, right, you've had guys tremendously stepping up. Guys find their role continuously each game. And some also kind of guys that you're like, whoa, I wish we kind of maybe played you a little bit more. So I think it's just like the fact that we haven't been so reliant on one or two players to just have, like they have to make the shot. I felt like last year that was kind of a big trend. It was like, oh, we need you to make the shot. You're the only one that can do it. And it was just like forcing us to go a certain way that I don't think really fit our team the right way. And this year, it's a lot more fluid, I feel, a lot more comfortable, right? I feel comfortable because sometimes watching it, as much as the back and forth gets me a little heartache, I know there's a few other guys on the team who could maybe pick ups when someone's down or vice versa, right? So I think that's a big trend, just generalizing. the teams play right now. I think another big one is somewhat kind of making sure we don't tend to fall back into our like our Achilles heels. Again, last year, not only was it turnovers every single game, but it was a consistent thing. This year, I've seen the games we've had bad, but I do think we've cleaned it up a little bit when needed. And then lastly, it's been not giving up, putting up a lot of fight. I think last year we joked, but it was true. There, how many games all of a sudden we were down 20. And this year, I just don't think we've let that losing mentality ever seep in to eliminate us from a game at any stage of the point. There's always been that fight. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think like the point about depth too, like that's something we talked about in the offseason this last year too, like having multiple players, 8-10 guys that have been successful at varied levels or varied conferences, you know, however you want to look at that. But like having a guy, you know, we had five players that returned this year, probably more than that, that played significant minutes on our team last year. Then you add a guy like Dez Watson, who was a starter in the A-10. You had Dame, who was a starter in the all-Ivy League player. Like, you had Greg Dolan, who was, I think he was an all-Ivy League, if not, like, a starter in the Ivy League. In addition to, like, Miles Rubin, who's a, you know, obviously big-time freshman recruit. So, this is something we talked about in the offseason. But to see them actually, like, put it into practice is really impressive. And it's you know, probably something we're going to be doing a lot this podcast is, it's a big credit to Coach Valentine of like taking the talent you have, which I don't think anyone would look at this roster and say, oh, we have the most talent in the A-10. Like, I don't think we have the top five talent in the A-10, but we're a top five team in the A-10, and that's what matters. But to see the coaching staff put this together and figure it out. And then, you know, the last time we talked, we were talking about how great Jaden Dawson is and how impressive he's been and his major step forward. And he hasn't even played. I mean, he's played in the last, I think, two games, maybe three, but he hasn't really had an impact in the last month and a half. And now it's Sheldon Edwards, who's taken a huge step forward. Dame has built off of what he had already started. It was a good first half of the season. And now he looks like he could sneak on to like an all A-10 type team at the end of the year. And then you have guys just coming off the bench every night. It's just a different person who's, you know, giving you 10 points and 5 rebounds. Or JQ, who's just been a super solid backup point guard. And that's a luxury to have, I think, especially in like the A-10 or like high mid-major type conferences, having your two lead guards and then having a point guard off the bench that, you know, can come in and get you 6 points, 3 assists, and maybe only turn the ball over once. So, that depth portion or that depth point is just so crucial. And I enjoy the fact that we talked about it in the offseason and now it's just showing in the regular season when some other teams, you know, like UMass or I'm trying to think who else has had some injuries, but there have been a couple teams that have had parts or pieces go down with injuries and haven't necessarily been able to sustain the starts they had to the conference season, whereas we've had injuries and we've been able to kind of maintain that start. So, I don't know if you have any other thoughts about how we've been doing well the past like six games, but feel free if you do.
Yeah, I think lastly, it's like, I don't know, I wish we could know what impact from the coaching staff, because I do think there's a different sense to the play, sense to the rotations, right? And again, it's tough, right? Like, there are some guys I think who are getting minutes because I think we need breathers, but then also it's like, well, maybe they're seniors, so Drew's like, hey, go out there and try to do something, and I'm like, we can just kind of leave him on the bench, I guess. I don't know. I felt like last year our transfers just didn't make as big of an impact at all, if any, to be honest with you, right? We kind of had this high hope for a lot of the transfers, and not all of them did it. And then that was the toughest thing, I think, right? I think that you have such an impact you can make, especially to a roster that was kind of fresh, very fresh in the sense of last year, right? And I think this year, the combination, like, again, it's been kind of crazy to think, because, like, Phil last year was the one transfer that was outstanding, right? And this year he's settled in, and last year it was like, where were the other pieces that could help him out, right? And this year I think we have the pieces that can help him out. So I think that's the biggest benefit for sure. But no, I think you can see that impact right away. And I think if we want to dive into it, some games to speak about. Again, since last we recorded, we've just won. Maybe this is the trend. We just take a break. We record after. But no, I think the biggest one, like you said, it was an even split, home and away, 3-3. Though the crowds, we have to give a tip to it, right? St. Louis, what a crowd to have for Jesuit Jam. Also, one of my favorite logos ever. It was the Jesuit Jam with looking like Space Jam logo. So a huge fan of that. That was nice. I wish they would sold it on a shirt. I would have bought a handful. But yeah, no, the crowds were great. Like, it was just so cool, really cool to see the student section back. Because again, this was the first. Was it the first? I think it was technically the second game. I think UMass might have been the first game, but it was like one of the first full games with the student body back after like winter break. And so to see it packed like that, and also see a tightly contested game in St. Louis, who, as much as people would say, they're kind of the us of this year, back of the pack, back of the A-10 conference play at least, it was a very competitive game. So absolutely was overwhelmed with that. I didn't expect that. I was sitting there being like a little panicked. But again, I think the Ramblers proved out well. And again, I tip of the cap, the student section just really implored a lot of things. And I think it was just really, really cool and unique to have that again. And again, really shows out when it comes to games like this.
Yeah, it was really an enjoyable thing to see too. With I mean, I was there at the Davidson game, and just having full crowds is just, it's a game changer. It really is. Like, just to have everyone there shouting for their favorite team, and it's a small gym like compared to some of the other ones, but it's the perfect size for Drew and company, and just to see them all there, and students back, and rowdy, and I think the last like what three home games that we have, like, it's just gonna be, the environment is just gonna be nuts, and that's gonna be just awesome to see for sure.
No, yeah, and it's kind of.
Did you want to?
Yeah, I just want to point out, because I was thinking about this recently. We're the 248th largest arena out of 362. So there are 247 basketball D1 arenas bigger than ours. So just, again, I think you're right. I think it's a great environment to have, and for what we read right now. But again, if we maybe want to play at a certain place like the United Center, that would be great. I just want to plug that any chance I get. So, but no, I think, what did we want to go into? You want to go into the Davidson game, go into St. Louis? How are we feeling?
Whatever game you wanted to speak about, like, individually, just go. Yeah, go into, I go think, into that, into depth.
Yeah, I think with those two home games, I think I just want to say Davidson, Des Watson, what a great attitude to have, even though against his former team. But the games that in this six-game stretch that really called me out was this George Washington. George Washington, it was a game that I just didn't expect the way it came out to be. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm going to be frank here. I kind of was like, oh, we have this game. I'm going to still do my date event with my wife. And I had to have my phone buzzing the entire time, because I was like, this game is kind of putting a little stress on me. And again, we had a really nice lead in the first half at the end, right? A little up by 8. And again, there was even kind of just back and forth in the beginning. And I do think we pretty much kept our lead, but it really was a tale of halves. Like, it just absolutely was. And that's just sometimes what it is. We shot very, very poorly in the second half from three. We were 15% from three in the second half against George Washington. But I think the biggest thing you see is 85% from free throw, and then still 43% from field goal. And those are great things to see. But one of the biggest things is something that I think we talked about early on was the lead changing. And there was a point in this game that even though we had the lead, all of a sudden, George Washington, you're like, whoa, George Washington's up by six with under 8 minutes to go. What's going on? Like, you just think that, oh, wait, the card's in their favor. Like, they're just going to find a way to continue to win. And then it's like, nope. Sheldon Edwards hits a three. Brayden Norris hits a three. Oh, hold on. Let me just give it to Dame in the paint, and Dame's going to go up and do an and one. And then all of a sudden, he hits the free throw, and we're up one. And I'm like, that was just like a nine-point swing out of nowhere. And it's not that I mean out of nowhere, meaning like, hey, these guys can't do it. We saw it with the BC game, if you want to go back then, right? How many points? What was it? 9 points in 3 minutes, and they held
at
BC
least,
to,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like,
it might have even been more, but like that mentality is something that you just didn't see a lot in conference play last year. I go back to the GW game at home last year. That game was just like, what was going on in the 90s? Just so high scoring, and we let Bishop just go over us. And this game was like, nope. Like, we stick to what our game plan is. Drew's draw it up. We're not giving up, and we just didn't. And I think that's the biggest thing. Even though you're three, I do find it crazy to me that a team that is so 50-50 on the shots, right? We're either one half we're getting threes, the other half we're not, still finds a way to put the points in the back of the bucket. It really just blows my mind. Like, again, we had 18 points off turnovers, which was great. Our bench points are always high, thank you to Dame. But we had 36 of our points all in the paint, 24 points in the paint in the second half. So, like, it's just like, mm-hmm. This game really highlighted to me, like, we can find a way to go and go get those buckets when needed. And I think, again, like, you go back, people might say, oh, what about, like, the Richmond game? We couldn't make it. I was like, that's one instance. Like, this is over a stretch. I think a big kryptonite of ours in past has been, like, we will go on long runs of not getting a bucket, right? Like, 4 minutes, haven't scored a field goal in 4 minutes. So it's like finding ways to not let those droughts really just dry the whole team up and not be able to find a way to win is just crucial. And this GW game really showed it. I think call out highlights really quick. Dame, I think almost every game we're going to talk about in the 6-game stretch is going to have a mm-hmm. highlight of Dame. But Sheldon Edwards, this is one of the games that if people don't know, if you haven't checked Twitter, Sheldon Edwards has definitely stepped up with his starting role minutes, helping out while Jaden Dawson's kind of coming back from injury. That's absolutely amazing to see. I think Sheldon Edwards, crazy stat, I want to get this out early before I forget. Sheldon Edwards mm-hmm. hasn't had a winning season in college basketball until this year. Mm-hmm. And that blew my mm-hmm. mind, and I was like, you know what, Sheldon Edwards kind of deserves the what he's getting, because he is getting a winning season, and he's doing production that I think is well-deserved. So, yeah. I think that's a huge highlight. Des Watson, always consistent. And I think, again, just the consistency of guys finding a way to win is just huge. And Drew's letting multiple guys step that up. Again, in this game, we had four guys in double digits, two on the cusp of double digits at nine. So, again, it's a team game, and it's a ball movement game, and I'm just loving it. So, there we go.
So, I have some business to take care of here. So for everyone, for the past year and a half, 2 years, 2 seasons now, you know, I've been one of the biggest proponents of the Sheldon Edwards gang, the Sheldon Edwards bandwagon, whatever you want to call it. He was coming in, I'm like, man, he's grabbing rebounds, like, he's playing hard, you know, all this stuff last year. And, I mean, we talked about it, I remember at the end of last year, too, because I ended up going to that LaSalle game, their last regular season game when we won. And Sheldon had like 20 or something, 21, yeah. Something like that. And just like giving him his props, giving him his flowers, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just really, really damn cool to see. Like, I don't know how else to say it other than like, it's just one of those things where I feel like Sheldon's been on our team for like years and he hasn't. Like,
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Watching some of the footage of the locker room, I'm like, oh, he was on the final. Like, he just feels like he's been there. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so cool to see him and just everything that Drew said. Like, you know, we just get bits and pieces of it, right? Like, we see when he had that big game, I think it was Mason. It could have been George Washington, but one of these two games when
He had a good game, and Drew was just talking about him and, like, almost got, like, did get teary-ed or, like, choked up about how great of a teammate, how great of a player he is to coach, and just a great person, and how much he deserves it. And, like, that kind of stuff is, it just, like, I don't know, I feel like it humanizes the team, right? Like, that's one of the reasons why we end up falling in love with different teams, or you know, really caring about how the results go. And it's just so cool to speak to his character from what his teammates say, from what his coaches say, like, for him to stick it through, for him to, you know, more than that, it sounds like he's not just here to be a part of it. He's a great person, great teammate, like someone who a lot of the guys, maybe the younger guys, kind of look up to. And in a landscape of like college basketball where it's so easy to just transfer all the time, like over this past offseason, I think we both at one point were like, yeah, it makes sense if Sheldon leaves. Yep. Like that, you know, just like that's what's going on. And so,
and he not, just sorry, just for reference, and, not as yeah. like, oh, he needs to leave. Just like, hey, he's not yeah. getting the playing time. I would leave, right? Like that just, the writing's mm-hmm. kind of on the wall, you think. No, you're absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just like so stoked for him. We both are. Like, it's so cool. And I'm glad it's not just like, oh, one game, had a crazy game, and then, you know, maybe, like, just kind of slowly falls out of the rotation. Like, that's not happening at all. He's started the last, what, since Dawson's been out, or at least the last, like, five, and had big games, like, having, you know, obviously the George Mason game was huge, but George Washington, he had a great game. And then just kind of sustaining it where, like, yeah, he might not score 25 points a night, but if he's coming in and hitting two or three threes, you know, 2 for 5, 3 for 4, whatever. Like, that's quality. Like, that's a quality shooter that you have to space the floor. You have to defend him, like, steps off the three-point line. He's not even, like, just right on the line shooting threes. He's 5 steps back. He's a hand in his face, that sort of thing. So, it really does change how they're going to operate. Like, having a lineup where you have, like, Braden, Sheldon, Dez, and I don't even know, like Phil and Dame then just have so much more room to operate because you can spread the floor and you have to respect those shooters. So, yeah, from what I can tell, like just having those guys on the floor, it helps the flow of the offense and the spacing of the offense to where now we're seeing Dame have really good games. And just this last at today when we're recording it on Sunday, like Phil having a great game too because the spacing is there and there's just more room for him to operate and do what he does best, which is scoring around the hoop. So no, that's my thing. I'm so happy for Sheldon.
Yeah, no, and again, I think it's been things like that this year that I think almost there have been multitude of players from Jaden Dawson having what a sophomore rise, right? Dez mm-hmm. being a player, and then like Braden, besides points per game, right? Every other stat has gone up, right? He dropped mm-hmm. what 8 assists today, as we record on Sunday. So it was like, I think Phil has become way more of a collected teammate, and I don't think I've seen a person fight for as many rebounds and put back as many rebounds as Phil of Alston. But it's like there's just been more of a collective team thing to highlight from almost every player, and it's just great to see, like absolutely great to see and mm-hmm. great to have for sure. But I think really it's just something new to talk about. Like, it's weird also to think that's like we hadn't had a winning streak like this at all last year, and we've had nearly two almost like it, right? Since it was until the Richmond game, I think we were on like a 4-game winning streak, and then we had like a 3-game winning streak at VCU, and now we're even longer here. So it's mm-hmm. it's really, really convenient to see us collecting wins for sure. It's just mm-hmm. it's a nice thing.
It's just we just don't take it for granted. Like going through what you go through last year, like everyone is just it's cool and fun, and
it's also tough wins. I'll be honest with you. Like I don't think any win's been an easy win. We used to always mm-hmm. Tweet or just win, baby. And mm-hmm. it's like it kind of is like I at this point. We know we said this offline, right? We know we're not getting at large And like mm-hmm. I just don't see it in the cards. Our net ranking is not great, and we know why, right? I would love to pay, if I had all the money in the world, pay UIC to come back so we can play it, because I think we're a yeah. very different team than we were in the beginning of the season. But I think right now it's like more like, hey, we're just getting the respect and earning that. And again, putting ourselves in a position for the conference tournament. Like, that can ultimately change how they, like, by the what you're doing now helps the conference tournament. So I do think, mm-hmm. like, again, taking it for granted and also realizing that these games are, like, we're not just, like, casually kind of flying by. Like, we're fighting and we're putting up a fight for sure. But speaking of a fight, did you want to talk about any other game in particular?
Yeah, I figured I kind of talked a touch about it, but the Rhode Island game today, and you mm-hmm. know, it's fresh on the brain, so I figure it's worth diving into. Yeah, Rhode Island, they're not great, but they're definitely improved from last season. I believe that was one of our wins last year. I think we went and beat Rhodey at their place. Oh, no, at home last year, rather.
Mm-hmm. At home, yeah.
One of our, what, like four wins from last year. Yeah, so they are improved, I think, from last year. Better team, for sure. Just kind of more, a little bit deeper. They have a friendly, or I guess I shouldn't say friendly, a face on their team who transferred in from Bradley, Zeke Montgomery, which I think he's from, yeah, he had played 2 years at Bradley, so just kind of funny to see him reappear. Yeah, it was a good game. I think just a different style that we've won recently with our kind of two bigs or two forwards really just like giving it to them from start to the finish, and Phil Alston and Dane Madulikin. Just really cool to see them both have a good game. And like I said, just win in like a different way. It was fun to see Tom get his shine and get in there a couple alley-oops, which is always fun. Like I think people, especially like other team fans, probably have no idea that like Tom is a really impressive athlete. Like just see a 6'8" on a good day, like white boy rolling up, and you're like, oh man, okay, he's gonna do his post move. No, he's
Nearly rolled that ankle you, though, like, on one of them. I got yeah. a little concerned, but no, you're absolutely right. He ate his Wheaties today. Yeah. I know that for sure.
He did. Just great to see Braden dishing it out. You know, I like 8 assists and 1 turnover is just an incredible stat line from him from the point guard position. I would say if someone were to just maybe look at the box score and see Miles didn't play all that much, they might be worried, and I just really don't think there's anything to be worried about there. It was just, I think, matchup-based. Dame and Tom were playing really well, so like, why are you going to go away from that when you have two super seniors, or at least seniors, that are playing super well, like, on the road? You know, I just think it was probably coach saying, hey, let's stick with what's working and ride the hot hand, and that seemed to work. And Phil, just his normal kind of beast self that we're used to, 21-10. Love the sequence where he got, I think, 2 of his own offensive rebounds, put it back, and 1. Just that's always fun. But just to see him also playing 30 minutes too, right? Like not getting into foul trouble or not having to worry about anything else, and just being able to hoop, hit 9 to 10 free throws. That's huge. And then yeah, some of the guys like Sheldon still getting run. Had 10 points, hit 3 threes, grabbed 5 rebounds, and the rest of the bench too had their moments. Pat hit a 3. JQ got in, got some good minutes. Jaden got some run too. Didn't hit a field goal, but was able to play 12 minutes, which I think that's kind of the pattern right now for him. Is just gonna continuously build up. You know, probably at some point we see him play 15, maybe 20 minutes a game before the end of the regular season. Coming back from that sprained ankle, I believe it was either ankle or knee.
I think it was, I think one of the, mm-hmm. I think he like bumped his knee or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, not like, like I said, Rhode Island's not a great team, but definitely solid. And when you're playing somewhere new, this is the first time we've played Rhode Island at their place since joining the A-10. You know, there's always new things, new hotels, new restaurants, new travel, whatever you want to call it. But just great to see them end up winning by 10 and in a game when it kind of felt like we might let it slip away at the end. I don't even think they We didn't let up the lead after or any time in the second half. So not a wall-to-wall victory, but pretty darn close to it. And just hopefully they can take some good things from this. And now we have, what is it, like 5 days off or something? Or
yeah, we have
6 days off. We don't play until Saturday.
We don't play until Saturday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, it's probably going to be a good week of practice. Hopefully you see Dawson maybe get a day or two off too, let him heal up and rest. I'm sure that's probably what's best for his sprain anyway. So so yeah, I think it was a good win, something to build on, and got another a good game coming up on Saturday. George Mason at home. We did knock them off earlier in the year, but they're fighting in that middle of the pack in the A-10 right now, and I'm sure they're clawing for any sort of victory they can get. So, going to be a good one at Gentile on Saturday.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think, yeah, when looking back at, like, the six, right, I think today's game also almost cements, like, seeing Dame get his day. Like, again, you can look at so many games so far in conference play, right? You can look at the Fordham game coming down and making those free throws, right? It's just, like, there's an inconsistency. Honestly, right now, I don't see a person who could not be – I hope he's Sixth Man of the Year. I forget if that's an award here. I know it was an MVC award. We're Ooh, still getting –
yeah,
check. But I'm going to check. But, yeah, I think it's really great because I do think there are times where it's like – I think people forget about the impact you can make it. And, again, you bring up Phil, 9 of 10 from free throw. Like, that is just – Mm-hmm. That is just something. Again, hey, Breakfast Club, there we go. Shout out Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's those little things. I also think, again, there's been a different change, right? St. Joe's, it's weird to say it, we've beaten St. Joe's now twice this year, after they beat us three times last year. So what a change there. So again, like, finding ways to win, but also just finding guys to get comfortable with it. It's been really cool to watch for sure. And again, today's Rhode Island game, you're absolutely right. It's like, no matter what, don't get worried. I think there's someone there who can probably answer it for us. And again, someone might just need not their day, which is fine. I don't think these guys are able to go 100% perfect every single game. And again, that's why it's a team game for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been so much fun to just see them win close games. These sort of games, I mean, I remember earlier in the season when, you know, the New Orleans game, which was, like, too close for comfort. The Boston College game, which was close. Chicago State was even kind of close, right? Like, we said at that point, too, like, I remember for Boston College specifically, we had to come back. We were down, and we end up, you know, coming back in the last, like, 3 minutes. Like, those sort of things really do matter. Like, knowing that you can win even when you're down three with 4 minutes left or up three with 2.5 minutes left, and it feels like, you know, the tides are turning. Like, that sort of stuff does matter, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing now. This team knows how to win. They believe in themselves. They know, even if it's a close game, that I think their defense has stepped up enough where they're leaning on that, and just being able, like, anyone, it could be anyone's day. And today it was Phil and Dame who had it going, and we definitely leaned on them to help us get that road dub. So, yeah. I don't know if you have any other thoughts about any of our games or, like, what we're looking ahead to. Or if
yeah, I
not,
think,
we can go ahead.
I think knocking at the door, right, we got 5 games left, but we've already tripled our conference play wins.
Yeah.
I do think that these are games that are not, like, fully in our control, in the sense that, like, we got to go to St. Bonnie's. Like, that's a brand new thing for us. I don't know if guys are – how that's going to be, but, like, you mentioned earlier, right? Like, that's a whole new environment, a different thing. That is not – again, for those listening from St. Bonaventure, that is not a big city, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, let's be honest. So that can be a different thing. And then also, like – If you're not a player, like, again, I hope you're looking just to the next game, but you got to potentially see on your calendar, March 1st is Dayton at home, 8 p.m., Friday night, ESPN2. Like, this is a game that could be really impactful to how the season pans out. And I think for me, it's like every game matters in the sense that like tournament seeding can really make a difference. Like we played on Tuesday last year. I think we said offline before it, before recording this, we will not be playing Tuesday this year. Like that is a, for sure right now. And that is really crazy to think personally, because it's like that is just one little thing off our back, right? That is one little thing off the back. So instead of looking for like, okay, hey, we're going to go all the way to the championship on Sunday, well, what can you do now in these next five games to help you get to that championship on Sunday? And again, I think right now these five games can help you seed that would benefit you and benefit the team. So that's kind of the crazy thing to look forward to. Not only, yeah, of course, the Dayton game. We played Davidson again. That wasn't like an easy one. LaSalle, I'm not going to say we're, again, there's always times where you could just fumble it. So again, but that's going to be, that's going to be an interesting one. Senior day, Tom Welch, unless there's some rule book I'm not aware of, right, is going to be hanging up the jersey. Braden is, I believe, done. I think I've tried to do the math to make sure he's not done, but he is done, just with COVID and everything. And he, because again, if you don't remember, he did sit out his transfer year, which used to be a thing, not a thing anymore. So yeah, again, looking ahead, Buck, I guess, again, it's crazy to be like, hey, no matter how these next five games go, we still have a better record than we did last year. And that's so true. But it's like now it's like I think we what I was saying, there's probably a proper word, but like this is all just extra. Like I kind of just want more of the extra. Like it's like I want that sweet treat at the end of it. It's like I just kind of want more in a sense. Maybe it's a little greedy. I don't know, Buck. How are you feeling about like how we can finish these five games?
Yeah, I mean, I think first things first, like getting another win, getting a 20-win season is just, you know, one step, right? That's what sometimes you look back on as an impressive season. And then going from there, like, it's just hard to see this team giving up at any point, right? Like, and I know it can feel like we're asking for more, can feel like we're asked for extra, but, like, when you see this team and they, like, they believe in themselves, right? Like you can tell that from the minute they walk out on the floor to when they run out, you know, to the locker room after they get the win, like their confidence is just sky high right now. And even if we end up, you know, playing these last five games and maybe we drop a couple or whatever, then that's just fuel to the fire. Like we know we can compete with the VCUs and the Richmonds, right? We were in both those games, the other top two of the top four teams. And we'll obviously have to see what happens against Dayton. That's just a big question mark. But other than that, like it's fun, right? To see this team do so well and winning. Then you're another check mark list, winning a game in the tournament, right? Like we haven't done that yet. So winning a game in the A-10 tournament, that's another checklist thing. Like getting a bye in the A-10 tournament. Like, there's all these, like, checklist things that I think you, like, the average fan might get caught up in, like, oh my gosh, we're doing so well, right? Like, this is great, whatever. And then maybe we get to the A-10 tournament and we lose in the semis or something like that. And, like, dang, this just didn't feel like it was a good season. That's just, like, that's not correct. And also, I think you have to remind yourself along the way some individual checkpoints of, like, 20-win season, a higher than 500 record in conference, also a check mark. Winning, finishing in the top eight, finishing the top four, winning the A-10, like all these little check marks that are tangible things to remind yourself, like, oh yeah, this is a successful season, right? Like compared to what happened last year, just even if last year didn't happen, like even if this is our first year, like just last year didn't exist, like this is still a successful season.
Standards to play to, like it's not like yeah. That's a good point. That was something that I forget was just talking to someone casually, but I was like, hey, like there's no at large, but like this is just something to put in the bank. Like these are standards to build upon, right? You build that culture, but let's be honest, right? The culture that got us to the Final Four, that's a different culture. That's like MVC team kind of thing like that. Like now it's A-10. So you got to kind of switch your gears a little bit. It's like this is another just like steep decline, right? These are just the next step. And that's a really good point that I think like right now I'm being nearly guilty of like thinking too far ahead, maybe like, oh, we got five games. It's like, you know what? What do we have right now in the bank, right? We have like you just said, a positive over 500 conference record, and we're going to finish that way. And it's like we definitely didn't have that last year. So I really do think that is something to really kind of just – especially for Drew. I think that's a huge thing now that I think about it, right, is like Drew is young and is transitioning not only his team into the A-10 but like himself as a coach. And then you look at it, it's like as a coach – you recruited these guys, okay, are these guys making an impact? And like this year, I for sure think this team is a cohesive team. They're playing with each other, they know. And these guys haven't been playing with each other for five such years or something like that, right? Like Braden and Dez, first year they're playing with each other. Miles, or freshman, right? So being able to find a cohesive group of different ages, different skills and everything like that, that's been really cool to watch, I think, because it's something last year's team just really didn't have consistent. I think it was it was something that we were trying to find. We were hoping, oh my God, how many times were we hoping for certain players to just find their comfort spot? And this year, I think we've highlighted from Phil to Miles to Dame just being able to elevate that idea. And I think Drew's doing it. As much as last year was something of learning, I think we've learned a good bit, and I'm excited to see the turn that we have this year.
Yeah, it's been just a fun year to watch, and there's still more basketball, and I think that they have the confidence to continue to win at a high level, and it's just great. But speaking of things to look forward to, we can kind of move to the little recruiting portion, which we'll probably go in depth about it another time.
Absolutely.
But this is more like because we didn't have enough time to watch enough film on these two guys to be able to give you like a really in-depth thought of like what kind of players they might be. We can talk to the commitments of this is gonna be tough. I'm gonna call him Hendaway because I think that's a good try at his last name. Maybe Seffelden. Yeah, Seffelden Hendaway. Egyptian player from Egypt, is at the NBA Academy Africa from Cairo. He committed this past week as a forward, like a wing player, maybe a two guard, 2-3, something like that. 6'6". He had offers as well, he had interest. I didn't see where else he had offers, but he was a top 100 prospect on the website on3.com. Committed this past week, and then the other commitment, which
they're not making this easy.
Almost. No, I know. Which happened right at the end of the Rhode Island game. I'm sure it happened, you know, earlier in the day, but is a Russian player. His name is Daniil Glazgov. I feel like that one I got a little bit better. I think that one's Daniil. That one, Daniil's good. I can get that.
Remember when we were trying to figure out how did you just say swagger or swagger? And those are the days.
That feels like a cakewalk now, yeah.
Yeah.
Daniil is a 6'5 shooting guard from Russia. And then this year plays at IMG Academy. Both these players are class of 2024, so they are graduating or they will be on the team next season. Daniil had offers from LSU and Oregon State, so definitely an impressive for Daniil, especially I mean, again, a top 100 guy. He was around the 70 range. I've seen like 69, 70, something like that. And yeah, just to be able to recruit up against like LSU and Oregon State, that is no cakewalk or whatever. Like, that is an impressive feat to get a recruit from those two. But yeah, I introduced the two, so hopefully you don't have to say their names too much because this is a challenging one. We could call them DNS or I don't know. We can figure something out. But if you wanted to kind of talk about them, what it means, or what you're excited about with these two guys committing to Loyola.
Yeah, this is one, dipping our toes in international waters, I think, is very interesting. And also just like the programs these players are with, I think that's the biggest, that's for me really interesting. Just to round it out, right now these both of these guys who've committed this past week are now total of four commits. Again, shout out to Jack Turner, who I think has been just waiting to enroll since Jack has pretty much been committed, I think, for nearly two, like...
About a year.
Definitely over a year. I think it's been nearly... He's signed, so I think that's the other thing. And then Braden Young out of Texas, who signed as well, so back in November. So those two are signed, great, in the bank. So now we're under new guys here this week, and that was some of the biggest kind of excitement for me. I was like, where they're coming from. So like Buck, you mentioned, right, NBA Academy Africa is headway from. And that's like a really cool pathway to see. There have been multiple NBA players come from that path, and also plenty of college players who have come through there. So, again, it's something that is not, again, not unlikely of a thing to see at all. And I think just very, very unique that even Drew and company, right, were able to even – again, I'm always intrigued, like, were we out there? Like, was Drew out in in Egypt recruiting? Like, did he go to their house? Like, that's kind of like what I kind of joke about. But again, that's just really cool to see that. And then Daniel, for those who don't know, IMG Academy is one of the biggest powerhouses in all of college recruiting, whether it be football or basketball. That is not something to kind of think of anything lightly. For those who are like locally, like La Lumiere out in Indiana, that's another kind of powerhouse like program that is centered around kind of prepping players for college. And IMG has had a handful of guys, even from, I think, the Chicago area. There's one guy, I think, on the team right now, Cole Serta, who's committed to Notre Dame, who's down there right now, left his school in Illinois area and went down there. So again, to have both these guys having some type of, in my opinion, interesting but also like not the conventional way of recruiting is just very interesting to me. I think, again, Daniel moved from Russia to the States for high school to play his final year of basketball at IMG, so that's really great to see. He took actual official visits, funny enough, small world, to Loyola and Oregon State. So that was an interesting one for me. It's like, oh, Oregon State, and never leaving us after that NCAA tournament. But Rutgers was interested in, and like we said, LSU. I'm very happy we kind of got this one out of Rutgers' way. I don't know if people know, but we lost a commit to Rutgers earlier in the season, so I'm kind of happy we got this one for sure. I think the biggest thing, lastly, for me is both Daniel being around 6'4" and Headway being around 6'6". Again, we won't really know this because everyone's website's a little different, but again, if Daniel's that guard, that's kind of a big guard, 6'4", maybe like Dez right now. Headway seems really lanky and athletic. So again, like we said, maybe that three, maybe a stretch four, right, we could see. So again, very interesting. I think it's just really exciting. And again, like, I kind of was like wondering where the heck recruitment's coming from, Buck, right? Like, we've had Jack on the books for a while. Young came kind of not really out of nowhere, but just like, didn't really have any development to it. And then within a week, not only did we have one, but when we had, after a great win, we had another commit just all of a sudden come out. So I think just the development of recruiting, again, with the, let me be frank here, Buck, right? The portal is just kind of messing everything up traditionally, right? Traditionally, you'd have a whole bunch of guys, but now you can kind of wait. Like, you don't know what the portal is going to come with, whether for your own team, whether for guys who might be available. So recruiting now has been so interesting to watch, and I think having these guys committed, and now that's a total of four commits to a total of five graduating seniors, that has just been interesting to very develop, and again, excited for Drew and company for sure, Buck.
Yeah, I'm going to throw one little like thought experiment into this whole mix, especially when we're talking about the future of recruiting.
Yeah.
I wonder how the transfer portal is going to change when these players don't, like, Sheldon Edwards is the last class of players that have that bonus fifth year from COVID. So I still think the transfer portal is going to be a big deal, but I wonder if when that ends, you know, so after this season, I guess after this next off season, you could say, how that changes things. And I don't think there's really any way to know. It's just going to have to be a wait and see type thing. But to have these commitments for next year is really huge. I wouldn't expect there to be much more, many more recruits or commits. I think when we go from here, it's going to be probably some sort of transfer player, whether that's like JUCO or a D1 or something like that. Just to add to the kind of space out the classes a little bit more. Yep. So that we don't have it again where it's six guys leaving in 1 year. But, yeah, just something to think about. Something that's been I've been thinking about for sure is how the transfer portal is going to change when these players that have the COVID year end up graduating out and there's just more four-year players as opposed to five, six-year players with COVID and redshirt and all that kind of stuff.
But. Yeah. No, I think, well, the crazy thing is, yeah, you won't see five-year players because – of one, I think you won't see, you will see a still high turnover with the transfer portal. Guys can transfer without sitting out a year. That's like the number one thing that I think will always consistently keep the transfer portal high. But to your point, right, guys now don't have like that extra year. They don't have that second potentially transfer portal, right? So I think that you will probably see. My biggest thing is with the idea of guys being able to leave and not have to sit out, does that change does that eventually change like when you want high school commits to commit, right? Like, do you want to have five guys commit to you in November and then be like, oh, I could have gotten this guy in May? Like, I don't know, and I don't even know if that's the right way to think about it, but I think that's a huge dilemma. Again, not only have we seen the dilemma with what is the right NIL, it's like what just is the right formula, and I think we're trying to figure that ourselves. We were lucky enough to have guys play with each other for a few years, so I do think eventually you will get back into like, hey, these guys have been playing with each other for 3 years, right? Because once you transfer, you might not have that immediate eligibility to transfer again. So I do think you might transfer once, but you'll try to stick it out longer at a program and try to develop that kind of career other than just like kind of switching back and forth kind of mentality. So yeah, I do think it's kind of crazy to think like that COVID year is going to be wrapping up soon. And I do think you won't see a lessening of transfers. I think you'll just see kind of a more selective when to transfer, right? Like if you had a tough freshman year, you got to remember you don't have an immediate transfer after you transfer once. Like maybe you kind of have to stick it out. Like who knows, right? Like that's just, or maybe you need to redshirt yourself, right? That's where programs are going to have to start figuring out what the right formula is. And I'll be very intrigued if anyone knows how to figure it out right now, because even myself, non-coaching staff, is very, very much trying to figure out what the best formula is for recruiting.
I think you're right, the point about when players commit to, like, there's something to that for sure, because there's these, you know, high D1 schools, these high majors that, you know, they're recruiting incoming freshmen or graduating seniors, and I'm sure they're telling, hey, wait, we want to see what the portal's like. You know, they might not phrase it like that, but I think it would, like, you see teams like Arkansas or I don't even know who retools every offseason. Like, I feel like North Carolina always has like two transfers that are big, you know, play big minutes. Like, there's just these teams that wait and they get 3-4 impact players in the portal, and they have a limited amount of scholarships. So, I think you're for sure right. And I think this is Drew striking when he thinks other teams might not be ready to commit a full scholarship to players like this, to international players, to, you know, whatever, to high school recruits. So, and it just is really cool for Drew and his coaching staff to get these two players. And you know, there have been tweets about, you know, having our highest recruit and then having our highest recruit like 3 days later or 5 days later, whatever it is, like again. Yeah. So, just cool to see like him continuing to on that trend. We've seen him be a great recruiter and getting Miles Rubin, and even like you can go back as far as St. Thomas, right? Like his first real commitment after he was announced head coach, getting these guys who are national sort of, you know, not national figures, but nationally recognized as like good high school players. And now it's a matter of getting them to contribute, and we're seeing that this year with Miles and Jaden and Jalen Quinn and that sort of thing. And hopefully these two international kids are just kind of will follow in those footsteps and be able to be great players at Loyola for 4 years, and that's the goal. But yeah, I don't know, if kind of maybe last thing, if you can think of anything or want to expand on that, what that means for Loyola, what that means for Drew. Or just the team in general?
I think one thing, like, if people saw, I saw, like, Woj, who, if you don't know, Adrian Wojnarowski, one of the biggest NBA insiders, he just said he's going to do a 50,000, like, NIL deal for St. Bonnie's. And it's like, I think we're even trying to still figure that out. Like, that's always going to be, in my opinion, a massive piece to the, like, question of what's going on. I think, for example, if people are like, well, what do you mean they're going to tell recruits to maybe wait and not commit. We kind of had that in, like, we didn't tell anyone not to commit, but we had that with Miles. His brother Wes committed with Miles, and then all of a sudden Wes decommitted, and that causes a whole then thing. Then we missed out on some other recruits that we said, hey, we're not recruiting anymore because we're full. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe Drew's now is like, hey, I can't fill my whole plate right now. And again, let's also be frank. On average, I think we've done the math, and I think someone else has done it. I think it's about 2.5, maybe 3 players per team leave and transfer. Now it's probably definitely higher with you get to waive your year of sitting, your redshirt year. So as kind of crazy it is to say, right, there probably will be one or two players on our current roster right now that will be transferring. That just, like, is what it is. We had that last year. We had it year before. Like, there are just players that will not, that are on the roster this year, that just probably won't be on the roster next year. And if they are, I'm happy. I love everyone on the team. Just statistics, that's what it is. So I think that's also kind of the ball that's also moving back and forth, that when planning out these, like, long-term things or the roster, because of being able to move and just the way statistics are going, you might not be planning for guys maybe 2-3 years, but you also could, because guys don't have that extra year anymore. So it's like, once you transfer, hey, kind of got to stay put maybe. So we'll see. Again, the next thing I don't know, is NIL going to bring in agents? Who knows? But that's a whole other story, and hopefully not in my lifetime that I have to stress about that, and hopefully hit the lotto so I can get Loyola some key recruits. But we will see. But excited to even talk about it. I think we've been a little drier with talking recruitment stuff because we haven't had much. And again, it's always exciting to see future Ramblers gearing up and just getting, especially these two guys, a lot of Twitter talk, especially from On3 people, because that's On3, the website. They have them highly ranked. So really cool just to see our name, not only in with us trending upward, excuse me, in college basketball, but also trending for just getting high recruits. So been a great, great day right now to be a Rambler. Good day to be a Blur.
It really is. Like, it's just fun and just enjoy it. You know, I guess that would be my biggest, overarching thought for this whole episode. It's just enjoy the wins.
Words of wisdom. That's
yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, one thing, I know it's always turns into like something I've learned from coaching, but I'm going to go there again. One thing I've learned, this shit is hard. Like, it really is. All of it is just really, really hard. Like, winning games, recruiting, like, you gotta understand, like, from a fan standpoint, too, like, there's a whole group of people that are doing just as much, if not more, work than you on the other side, right? Like Rhode Island isn't going out there thinking, man, like, we're gonna lose this game by 10, right? So, I don't know. I just think, as fans, I think the biggest thing is just enjoy it. Enjoy those videos that the wonderful video team puts out all the time. Like, enjoy, the fun little trends we have on Twitter or on X, whatever. Like, because it's fun, and we know, like, there are seasons like last year when things aren't as fun, or there's not as much to cheer about or as much to celebrate. So yeah, that's my thing. Have fun with it, enjoy it, and keep being loud and genteel, and I think there are still more good things on the horizon.
There we go.
Yep. Any last thoughts, Lou?
Go Blurs.
Cool. Well, thank you all for hanging out with us, and hanging with us while we're, you know, busy schedules and all that. But we appreciate any time we hop on here and people are listening and people are interacting with us on Twitter. And there's a lot of other great people on Ramblers Twitter that are putting out some good stuff and analysis and all that kind of stuff. So we're just happy to be a part of it. But yeah, thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.